Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In conjunction with Mount Marty College's Noon Forum, the Great Plains Writers Tour announces a presentation by award-winning author Daryl Farmer. The event, which is sponsored in part for the South Dakota Humanities Council, takes place today at noon in Marion Auditorium on the campus of Mount Marty. Daryl Farmer is an award-winning author. Currently, he's assistant professor and the director of the Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing program for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. His books include Bicycling Beyond the Divide and Where We Land. He joins us now on the phone from Yankton. Daryl Farmer, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here.
I wish I could come down at noon because this sounds like a great presentation. Have you been through South Dakota before? What's your connection here?
I have, yeah. Actually, I was at Mount Marty College, I think in 2010. And, you know, I've traveled through a lot. My wife's from Minnesota, and I went to school in Lincoln, Nebraska, close to the area, quite a bit.
And give me an idea, you know, for folks who want to stop by, is there a theme to the presentation today? What can people expect?
I'm going to be reading some, both fiction and nonfiction. I'm going to be reading a few short pieces from my book, Where We Land. And then I'm also going to be reading a new essay that I've written about when I was 20 years old, right before I went on the bike trip. It became my book, Bicycling Beyond the Divide.
Let's talk a little bit about that one, because you take this sort of epic bike journey and then you take it again, and there's still more to say about it. So give people an overview of Bicycling Beyond the Divide, and then let's talk about why this experience, you know, continues to offer its lessons for you as a writer and as a human being.
Okay, great. The book is about a bicycle trip I took when I was 20 years old, and it was a time in my life when I was a little lost. I had been to a couple different colleges and stopped going to both of them. And I took off on my bicycle for a journey around the U.S. West. I left from Colorado, which is my home, and went up to the Canadian border and then down across to the coast and down the coast to the Bay Area in California and then back across Nevada and then back to Colorado. So that was when I was 20. And then when I was 40, I decided to retrace that route and to write about it. So that's the scope of the book.
At the age of 40, what made you, I mean, you're in a different place physically, you're in a different place emotionally. Were you lost again? Or were you just wanting to say, you know, I'm going to look at, like, you know, you read a novel, you know, when you're 40 versus reading a novel when you're 20. It's totally different. What compelled you to make the trip twice?
I was hopefully less lost. I was a graduate student at University of Nebraska at that time. And I started writing about that experience. And, you know, it had been, the memories were 20 years old. So, and I had learned so much about about life when I was 20, and I just thought revisiting that would give me a time to reflect on how far I'd come, and also the West itself, how it had changed over time. I was really interested in that, so it was, and I really just wanted to get back on the bike and re-experience, you know, being outdoors in the wind and cold and sun and all of those things, and biking through all the beautiful landscapes of the West.
So there's lots that we can mine here, but there's two things that really stick out to me. And one is this sense of place in literature, which we'll get to in a moment. But first is the sense of an author doing something. Is that, you know, when you teach students and they come to your program now and you look at your own life, you look at books that you've read and have been drawn to, there's something compelling about this literary tradition of an author getting off the couch and going and doing something extraordinary or unexpected or, you know, whatever, and then writing about it. Talk a little bit about that literary tradition and where you sort of see yourself fitting into it.
Well, particularly in America, the road trip narrative is a big part of our literary culture. You know, Jack Kerouac's On the Road, of course, but a lot of books since then and literary works, poetry and so forth. So it's I don't know, the bicycle. You know, that first trip when I was 20, I started keeping a journal every day for the first time in my life, and that was such an important life habit that I started, just riding every day. And I still think of the bicycle as one of my favorite riding utensils. Because to be a rider, you have to really be kind of connected to the world around you. And you know, sensory detail is so important to a rider. And when you're on a bicycle, as opposed to when you're in a car, you can smell everything and hear everything and, you know, feel the wind against your skin and smell the wheat in the field or the pine trees in the forest. And you know, you just get a real, real sensory sense of the world around you. And so that was such an important part of that experience for me. And then writing about it every day, you know, was it just, the two just seemed to go hand in hand with me. And I'm still that way. Writing is a solitary thing where you're sitting at a desk indoors, but often when I get stuck or just need a break, you know, I'll go out and walk in my neighborhood or on one of the trails nearby and just kind of reconnect with that sense of place.
As a writer, what were the things that you wrote in your journal then that you found the most useful later?
Those initial journals were really minimalist. You know, I wouldn't say that the writing was very, very good, but often what I discovered when I went back and read them is that even if the details weren't there, the memories would flow just from the little bit that was in there. So that's a big part of that. And then for me, just the habit of writing every day at that time and the habit that started was an important part for being 20. When I was 40, I had the book contract before I left. So I was consciously, you know, trying to write in as much detail and things as I could at that time.
Yeah. Were there things that you wish you had written down when you were 20, you know, as you're 40 and sort of, you know, going back and saying, man, I wish I had written that down. I'd like to dig into that again. I don't remember.
No, you know what I did do is I did a lot of photography at that time.
Okay.
So I had a lot of that kind of helped spark memories too. But I you know, that trip, even now, that trip from when I was 20 is so vivid in my mind, almost more so than when I was 40 in some ways. Mm. So I don't remember having that. I think I had the opposite problem, which is that I wanted to write so many things down that trimming the book down to a book length thing was more difficult for me.
I want to go back to, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to author Daryl Farmer. He's in Yankton today for Mount Marty College's Noon Forum here at noon Central Time. His books include Bicycling, Beyond the Divide, and Where We Land. And Daryl, I want to talk to you, you know, go back to, let's talk about the sense of place and how important is it? You know, I think it's easy to talk about how important it is for writers, but how important is it for readers? That we read books with a sense of place, and we read books with a sense of place other than our own.
Oh, it's so important. You know, when you pick up a book, what you have are these black squiggly lines on a white page, and what you have to do is get a reader to kind of buy into the color and the scenes and the things that you're creating on the page. So the first thing I look for, and this is something I really stress to my students, is when I start reading something, I want to be oriented in the place of the story and the details. And I think that's so important for a reader to feel like that they're in the place. You know, and sometimes that place can be out in the wilderness somewhere or, you know, in something as general as South Dakota, but it could also just be, you know, what's on the dresser in the room that you're in that place. And just to really kind of orient the reader in that space, I think is very important.
What are you writing now? What's you said you were sharing an essay, you know, at the forum today. What's sparking your interest as a writer now?
I've been spending a lot of time in Iceland. I've been there three times since 2013, and I'm working on a new project that's about that. It's a book project written in a triptych form, which is an art form.
Right.
Traditionally with three panels, and I'm writing specifically about the thematic triptych is love, grief, and then art, and how those things correspond to my travels in Iceland. So I rode my bicycle around Iceland last May and June. So that's the middle. My father passed away about a year and a half ago. So that's the section that's about grief.
Where did this idea of a triptych come from? I mean, how did that sort of make the connection between something that we think of as a visual art to turn to the literary?
I'm really interested in that form. I started getting interested in it with there's a book called Leap by Terry Tempest Williams, and she writes about the Hieronymus Bosch triptych that I believe is in a museum in Spain, and the whole book is about that one piece of art, and she was able to write about it in such kind of rich detail, and at the same time, you know, so I got really intrigued with that form, and then I've been to Iceland 3 times and been pretty significant times in my life, and so it just seemed to kind of line up, this triptych form. Part of my time in Iceland was at an artist residency where I was spending time with a group of artists. I think I was the only writer there for a large part of that. So just being kind of inspired and influenced by them as part of that as well.
What draws you to Iceland? Why there?
I don't know. It just kind of crept up on me. I was reading, you know how these things happen. I picked up a book of essays, and there was an essay in there about Iceland. And then I picked up a magazine, and there was a thing about Iceland. And just kind of snowballed to the point where I just started getting really interested in that place. And I like colder climates. I like the idea of the Arctic landscape. What I didn't know when I first started getting interested is how rich and varied the literary tradition is there. So I started reading a lot of books by Icelandic authors and just really getting interested in it.
Leave us with some advice, Daryl, if you will, for younger writers, you know, who want to sort of make it in the world as a writer in this new marketplace that we're facing now.
Well, there's you know, this is not original advice, but the best advice I think any writer can have is to read everything that you can, you know, and to kind of find the models and the mentors through writing that that feed your own work and kind of become a muse for you. And you know, technology's changing, and it's changed in a lot of ways over the history of time, from the oral traditions to the typesetting to the word processor and now ebooks and things like that, but the storytelling and the value of storytelling and the form of storytelling never really changes. So I think understanding those kinds of traditions and you know, the elements of narrative in particular, I think those are the most important things a young writer can learn.
Daryl Farmer is the author of Bicycling Beyond the Divide and Where We Land. You can see him today at noon in Yankton at the Mount Marty College's Noon Forum. That's in the Marion Auditorium. We reached him in Yankton, but he is from Alaska on sabbatical from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Daryl Farmer, thank you so much for being here with us, and welcome to South Dakota. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here.